Sermon I'm going to preach this morning is the kind of sermon I preach along about the middle of the summer every year. We get into the summer and we get distracted with the activities of the summer. I just want to, just one little verse this morning, one little truth to encourage you to just keep on keeping on. Just keep on going. We live in a world, I mentioned this in Sunday school, in a hurry-up world. We live in a world that wants instant gratification. I've confessed my sin before when I go to McDonald's and I order a hamburger and they said, would you please pull up? I get so upset. I said, this is a fast food place. I ordered a hamburger. You mean you don't have a hamburger ready and you want me to pull up and wait? I feel like saying, give me my money back. I'm going to go to Burger King. You know, you can have it your way there. But anyhow, we live in a world that wants instant gratification. Now, I mentioned in Sunday school, young people getting married. They want everything that mom and dad has. They want it right now. I mean, they don't realize that mom and dad have been married for 40 or 50 years, and they saved, and they bought stuff gradually. Well, one of the traps that young couples fall into is, oh, no, we want everything that mom and dad have, and we want it right now, and, you know, we have credit cards, and we can get everything we want right now. What sometimes they don't realize is the bills come due, and as young couples, they need to pay those bills and not go into debt. Kids want everything they see advertised on TV, and they want it right now. My little grandson, I even hate to watch TV with him. I want that, Pa. Well, maybe you'll get it for you. No, I want it right now. And even churches, if we're not careful, we want God to give us everything we think we need, and we want it right now. The Bible says, wait on the Lord. In Psalm 33, verse 34, it says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. In Psalm 33, verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. And we need to make sure as his children that we're not running off and leaving the Lord, that we are not waiting on him. We need to wait on him. You remember Saul? That time he was getting ready to go into battle, it was still when he was getting advice from Samuel. And Samuel said, well, go to a certain place and I'll meet you there and we'll offer a sacrifice before you go into battle and ask the Lord to bless you. Well, Saul got there and waited and waited and waited, and it didn't seem like Samuel was showing up at the time he said he was going to show up. And so Saul didn't wait. He took matters into his own hands. And he offered a sacrifice that a king should not offer, only a priest or a prophet should offer. And Samuel had to rebuke him and said, no, you should have waited. You need to wait on the Lord. God says, sometimes I want you to wait. Sometimes I want you to wait on me so that your faith will grow. And so this morning, I want us to look at just that one verse that we read a moment ago, Galatians 6, 9, where the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Let us not be weary in waiting on God. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I want to start at the end of the verse this morning and work my way backwards. I want you to notice that word reap. It means to harvest. It means to collect what you're worked for. It brings to mind a farmer who in the spring of the year goes and plows up the fields and breaks up the clods and plants the seed. And then all summer he takes care of it. He puts fertilizer on it. He puts bug spray on it. He puts whatever on it to keep the pests away. He prays and asks God to send the rain and the sunshine. And in the fall of the year, after all of his hard work, he gets to go out to the field and he gets to reap what he sowed. He gets to harvest the crop that he has planted. It's a picture of somebody that has stuck with it. It's a picture of somebody that has stayed with what he started out to do. A reaper is a winner. A reaper is somebody that has stuck to the task and now gets to reap or to collect that what he or she has worked for. In the Christian world today, there's very few reapers. There's very few people that reach the heights that God wants them to reach. Very few do what God wants them to do. Very few know the blessings that He wants to bestow. And you know why? We get in too much of a hurry. We don't wait on God. We don't labor in prayer. We don't wait for the Holy Spirit. We get out ahead of God, and God said, you would have been a whole lot better off if you would have just waited on me. Getting ahead of God is just as much a sin as staying behind Him. God doesn't want us to get out in front of Him, nor does He want us to lag behind Him. He wants to walk with us. He wants to walk with us, and He'll walk with us if we will walk with Him. We need to wait on Him. Now, that's not our intent. Our intent is not to miss the blessings that God has for us. Our intent is not to miss the things that God wants us to do in our Christian life. I've never known anybody that has planned to be a failure. We plan to be a winner. We plan to succeed. Listen, I want to tell you something. A failure is not somebody that fails. We've all failed at points in our life. I mean, first time you rode a bicycle, unless you're the exception, you probably failed. First time you rode a skateboard, unless you're the exception, you probably failed. I tried to ride a skateboard one time. I don't know why I couldn't even roller skate with two roller skates. I don't know why I thought I could ride a skateboard. It ended badly. I won't go into any detail. But I did make it a trip to the emergency room. But anyhow, nobody is a failure for failing. A person is a failure when they quit. A person is a failure when they fail and fail and fail and say, okay, I'm done, I quit. You've heard the story, as I have. Thomas Edison, in trying to invent the electric light bulb. He tried almost 1,000 things. Every one of them failed. Every one of them didn't work. One of his assistants asked him about, they were somewhere in the 900 things they tried, and he came and said, Mr. Edison, we've tried 950 things, and everything, single one of them have failed. Aren't you discouraged? And Thomas Edison said, no, I'm not discouraged. We've learned 950 things that don't work. Amen. We won't try those things again. We'll try something else. And he kept on going. I think it was over 1,000 things he had to try before he discovered what would work in the electric light bulb. He wasn't a failure. He failed a lot of times. You're not a failure until you quit. And there's too many Christians that are quitting. And again, my message this morning, and I know I'm preaching to a good crowd. I'm not preaching to any quitters, but I don't want you to quit. This is a preventative message. This is a message that says, look, God has some things He wants us to do. We need to stay at it. We need to stay with it. We need to walk with Him and accomplish those things that He wants. Amen. We live in a Christian age where too many Christians are saying, I want it my way. Christianity is not Burger King. You can go there and have it your way, but when it comes to Christianity, it needs to be God's way. His way is better than our way. Our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. His ways are better. His thoughts are higher than ours. And we need to just say, okay, God, not my way, but Your way. So, character is built by staying with it. Doing it God's way, even though we don't understand it. So, it says in that verse, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. We shall reap. Not we might weep, not we may reap, but we shall reap. How? Verse tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing. That word weary means tired. It means bored. It means discouraged. That's what the word weary means. Don't get tired. Don't get discouraged in well-doing. What's well-doing? It's doing, we talked about in Sunday school this morning, we talked about what it is to be righteous. Righteous living is doing right things. Well-doing is doing the things that God wants us to do, the things that we know we're supposed to do. discouragement, listen, discouragement is a tool of the devil. The devil will try to discourage you. The devil will try to work things out so you'll fail in a certain thing, and then he'll try to discourage you and say, you might as well never try again. You might as well just give up now. You're never going to get done what God wants you to do. You failed. So instead of embarrassing yourself, why don't you just quit? What you do in times of discouragement determines how God can use you. Listen, to the very best Christians that are here this morning, there are going to be times that you get discouraged. There will be times that you do not feel like reading your Bible. There'll be times that you do not feel like coming to church. There'll be times that you won't feel like giving your tithe. There'll be times that you won't feel like living your testimony. You know how to live your testimony, but there'll be times where you'll just say, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. I want to do what I want to do. There'll be times that you won't feel like going out and sharing the gospel with anybody. And Satan will try to get us discouraged. He'll try to impact our feelings so that we don't feel like doing anything like that. And you better, in those times, you better not let your feelings control you. You better be obedient to God. It doesn't matter if you feel like reading your Bible or not. God wants us to stay in His Word. And whether you feel like it or not, spend some time in His Word. You may not feel like coming to church. It doesn't matter. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. And whether you feel like it or not, come. Maybe after you get here, you'll feel like you're glad you came. Maybe not. It doesn't matter. You just need to be obedient to what God says. You may not feel like giving your tithe to the church. It doesn't matter. The tithe belongs to the Lord. You may not feel like living your testimony in front of other people. But look, those other people look at you all the time. Those times that you fail to live, it destroys the testimony. It takes years to build a testimony. It only takes a second to destroy it. So it doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter that you're discouraged. It's going to come. Get ready for it. Satan will make sure it happens. But what we do in those times of discouragement determines how God can use us. It says, for in due season. How long is due season? Don't know. Varies by individual. Varies by situation. Due season maybe just a couple of days. If I don't get weary and if I don't faint and I keep well doing, in a few days, maybe I'll reap. Due season could be a few weeks. Due season could be a few months. Due season could be a few years. Due season could be decades. In fact, due season could last a lifetime. God doesn't say. He doesn't say. Hey, so due season is only a couple days, only a couple weeks, only a couple months. He doesn't say. Due season. Due season. Just keep at it. Don't give up. Don't quit. The Bible promises us that we shall reap. We shall reap if we don't get weary, if we don't faint, we shall reap in due season. Now, I know people today, their due season has lasted a long time. They've lasted a long time. Some of them are a little bit discouraged this morning. This verse says, don't quit. Don't quit. Think about the examples that the Bible have given us about people who have reaped because they didn't quit. Think about Noah. We read the story of Noah. If you don't pay attention to the numbers, you miss the important part of the story. Yeah, the important part of the story was there was an ark and that saved his family from the flood. But did you know it took Noah over 120 years to build that ark? Do you know during those 120 years he preached and asked people, gave people an invitation to get on the ark with him? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what it must have been like for 100 years to preach and invite people to get on the ark? And then when he got the ark done and opened the door, the only people that got on were his wife, his three boys, and their three wives. I'm sure there were days when Noah didn't feel like working on the ark during that 100 years. I'm sure there were days where he got discouraged because, I mean, they didn't have electric tools. They did everything by hand. I mean, it was hard work. And for 100 years, Noah built that ark. Everybody thought he was a fool. I mean, there were people all the time giving him advice. Why are you doing this? I mean, he wasn't near a sea. He wasn't near a lake. He wasn't near an ocean. He was in the middle of the desert. I'm sure, you know, they some people called it Noah's folly. Why would you spend your life, 100 years of it, working on something like this? But he didn't quit. He didn't faint. He didn't get weary in well-doing. He kept doing exactly what God told him to do. And in the end, he got to reap. Yeah, it was only his family, but it was his family. It was only his wife and his three boys and his three daughter-in-laws, but it was his wife, his three boys, and his three daughter-in-laws. He reaped. He reaped. He didn't get weary. He didn't get tired. Think about other testimonies that we have in the Bible of those that didn't quit. Think about Joseph. Joseph. 13 years. I mean, he was betrayed by his brother, sold as a slave. He spent 13 years between prison and Potiphar's house, and prison in that order. He spent 13 years. Joseph didn't do anything wrong to get thrown into the pit. He didn't do anything wrong to get thrown in prison. I mean, if ever anybody should have been discouraged, it would have been Joseph. But he didn't. He didn't quit. He kept on being the man of God that God wanted him to be. He kept doing things that would be pleasing to God. And in due season, his due season was 13 years. Noah's was over 100. Joseph's due season was 13 years. He stood second in command in all of Egypt and saved the world from famine. Now, think about those who did quit. Just a couple of examples. Think about Lot. Abraham's nephew, blessed because he was Abraham's nephew, blessed by God. And yet, he moved into Sodom. He quit serving God. And he paid a terrible price. He didn't. You say, well, yeah, he reaped. He reaped negatively. I mean, he lost some of his family in the destruction of Sodom. His wife turned back as they were escaping and turned into a pillar of salt. He lost his testimony with his two daughters that made it out because he quit. He quit. And think about the example of not quitting that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, you don't need to turn to it, but I'm going to turn to chapter 12. I'm just going to read a couple of verses, and then I'll be done. In chapter 12, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." That's the same thing that Galatians is saying. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Our due season is that race. Not being weary and not fainting is continuing to run that race. How do we do it? We look to our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Think about it. Jesus is our example of somebody that didn't quit. I mean, Satan tried to discourage him. Satan tried to keep him away from the cross. He tried to kill him when he was a baby. When he first started his ministry, he took him out to the wilderness and tempted him to turn away from God. All throughout his ministry, Satan tried to discourage Christ by discouraging those that were around him. And yet the Bible says that he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He set his face like a flint toward the cross. He said, "I didn't come to do my will. I came to do the will of my Father. And the will of my Father is to go to the cross and die for the sins of men." I'm glad we have a Savior that didn't quit on us. I'm glad we had a Savior that went to the cross to fulfill the salvation plan of God and pay for our sins. I'm glad we had a Savior who did not get weary, who did not faint in his due season and did what God wanted him to do. And we share in what he reaped. We share in the salvation that he purchased for us on Calvary. How do we run the race? Looking unto Jesus, amen, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul, at the end of his life, wrote, I have run the race that is set before me. I have finished my course. God needs some Christians today that will be finishers. Finishers. How long is our due season? I have no idea. Determined by God, what we need to resolve to do is not grow weary, not faint. Keep working. Don't quit. Are we going to fail? Yes. Are we going to get discouraged? Yes. But being a failure is not failing. Being a failure is quitting. Don't quit. For in due season, we shall reap. What does reaping look like? Well, one thing, it's heaven. Hey, it's heaven. We're going to get to go to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, the psalmist says. What does reaping look like? It may look like taking your family with you. What an influence a Christian who runs with patience the race can have on their family. And reaping may walk, be going through the gate of heaven with your family beside you because you haven't quit. You haven't given up. You haven't grown weary. You haven't grown tired. What does reaping look like? It may be getting to the end of your life and being able to say like the Apostle Paul, looking up to heaven, as God is my witness, I've done what you've wanted me to do. I've lived my life pleasing to him. Amen. What does reaping look like? It's different for every person. You want to reap? I do. I want to reap. I know most people here, I know some of you quite well. I don't know a single person here that would say, I don't want to reap. You want to share the blessings of God. He wants to give them to you. He tells us how. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't get tired. Don't faint. Just keep at it. Keep at it. Doesn't matter how hard it gets. Doesn't matter how discouraged you are. Just keep doing right. Keep doing right. The old Methodist preacher, Bob Jones, said, keep doing right, keep doing right, keep doing right till the stars fall. Keep doing right. And that's what we need to do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement that it gives us. I pray as we're the midway through the summer, this is a time of year when we as Christians sometimes get discouraged. I pray, Father, that we keep our eyes on Christ, looking unto him, the author and finisher of our salvation, knowing that he wants us to finish the race that he's given us to run as well. And so I pray we not get weary, we not get discouraged, we not get tired, but in due season, we just keep at it. We keep working. We keep serving you. We keep doing what we know is right. We just stay at the task. And Father, as we do that, we claim the promise that one day, doesn't matter how far away it is, doesn't matter how near it is, that one day we too will get to reap. Father, I pray if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, I pray that they would look to him today for their salvation. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Bible tells us we're all sinners, and that sin separates us from you. Sin has to be paid for. The payment that we owe is to just be apart from you forever and ever and ever. But Jesus paid what we owe, as Wendell sang a minute ago, paid in full. Our sin debt was paid in full. And because he paid it in full, he's able to offer to every person the gift of life, eternal life. And if there's just one person here this morning that hasn't received that gift, I pray you'd help them see their sin. I pray you'd help them see what Jesus did for them on Calvary. I pray you'd help them hear the invitation that he gives to all people. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And I pray they would decide to come to Christ this morning. So, Father, bless the invitation. If there's somebody here thinking about quitting, Father, help them to come and get on their knees at this altar and say, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. I don't want to be a quitter. I don't want to be a failure. I want to be a reaper for you. So use this invitation as you see fit. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.